Good morning, Sunrise. We are glad that you are here. We're glad that you found us. If you're visiting and you just saw us on somebody's feed, we're glad that you stopped for a second. Happy Sunday. It's a beautiful day, and we are just grateful to be children of our Father in heaven. We are grateful to be able to get together and study His Word together and worship. Remember, there's a singing file that you can open after this, and Tony's leading us in some songs this morning, so make sure you check that out. We're going to start with some announcements, prayer requests. We're going to pray together. We're going to have a message, and then we will have a time for the Lord's Supper. So make sure you have your communion stuff ready for you and your family today. All right, a few things. Number one, Evan, for those of you that don't know, I know I look over here because he always sits over here. Evan Spear turned 6 on Tuesday. So let's remember Evan. If you want to give his folks a message or a text or a shout out or give him a call, he'd be excited about that. But Evan turned 6 on Tuesday, and I heard from a little birdie, if you're interested in sending something his way, he is all about the police force. He is going to have a police birthday, and that is what he is all about. So, Evan, happy birthday this week, and we just hope you have a wonderful day. All right, let's see. Oh, we put it on Facebook, but I also want to let people know the Children's Home of Lubbock is running dangerously low on paper towels, and they haven't been allowed to buy what they need. So we're going to help out. Paper towels, any that you have or any that you can get, if you can get an extra roll, bring it by the building. The standalone building behind us, it's unlocked. So just open the door, you know, use your t-shirt if you have to or whatever, open the door, throw a paper towel in there and shut it. I'll get it this week, collect it, and take them over there. So if you weren't able to get the message yesterday and get some up here to Tony this morning, then just bring them by the building and we'll make sure that we can do our part and help the Children's Home out with that. Also, we want to praise God because Robert had his test and he is all clear. If you hadn't heard about that one, so we are very grateful for that. We are also lifting up Lewis, Nora Valdez's husband. He has a brain tumor, and so we need to be lifting him up in prayer, and we are asking God to heal him. And then also, just the last thing, as things start to open up this week, we'll hear news from the governor, and we'll hear news from the mayor and local of how things are opening up. As this, you know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be a weird time. We've been conditioned anyway. And so just remember to treat others with grace. Everybody is going to deal with this differently, okay? As soon as some of us get the word and they say, hey, we're open for business, some people are going to be just jumping into everything. They're just going to be going everywhere, doing everything, and their pace is going to be really fast. Some people are still going to be a little bit nervous. Some people are going to still be guarded. You're going to see a lot of people with masks. And for those of you mask wearers, don't get mad at the not mask wearers. For those of you not mask wearers, don't get mad at the mask wearers. Use grace when dealing with people during this next chapter. Because as things opening up, as we enter into this next bit of all of this, we're going to have to deal with different opinions and different comfort levels, and we just need to remember to treat one another with love and with grace. Okay? So I just wanted to encourage you in that this week. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into our study. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for a beautiful day. We are grateful for your love and your kindness. Father, we are grateful for you taking care of us, for keeping us safe and keeping us well. Father, we praise your name. We recognize and we confess that you alone are God. We confess that you have created everything, that you rule over everything, that Father, you are taking care of everything. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We thank you for making us a temple worthy to hold your presence and for granting us your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you increase our faith each and every day. We pray, Father, that we will walk in the steps of Jesus. We pray, Father, that we will trust you in all things. that we will praise and honor you in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. Father, today we are grateful for Evan, and we just ask that you bless him with an awesome birthday. And just help him to have a good day Tuesday, and just be with him and his family, and just watch over them this week. Father, we praise your name, and we just thank you for Robert's good news, his clear medical test, and we just thank you for allowing him to be cancer-free. We praise your name for that, and we thank you. Father, we lift up Lewis, and we ask for healing. We ask, Father, that you shrink his tumor. We ask, Father, that you bring peace to him and to Nora, and we pray, Father, that you work in his body for good. Father, we lift up the children's home, and we ask that you bless those kids. We ask that you bless those families that live with them and take care of them. And we pray, Lord, that you will provide an increase of the paper towels that they need this week, and that you will just continue to meet their needs and work through us and work through other believers to help them out right now. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you, and as things start to open up, and as we think about getting back together, and we figure out how best to do that, we just pray that you give us wisdom. We pray that you give us patience. We pray that you give us trust. And we just pray that we will love other people, that we will love our brothers and love our neighbors and love our enemies. Because, Father, we've been cooped up. We've been cooped up. And when we get around other people, we're going to be, we're all going to be different. We're all going to react to this differently. We're going to be excited, or we're going to be easily frustrated. And Lord, we just pray that you fill us with grace so that we may be instruments of peace to everyone around us. We thank you for hearing our prayers today, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather in our homes and to worship you. And we just pray, Lord, that your word will hit home in our lives today so that we may be encouraged, that we may be strengthened, and that we may live life the way you meant it to be. We offer all of these things through Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. As you're turning over there, one of the things I wanted us to think about today was whenever you hear this phrase, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. I know that the majority of us probably just sat there and cringed, didn't we? We just went, if. That's one of those loaded phrases, isn't it? When someone says, God wants me to be happy, we cringe because in our experience, a lot of times that goes hand in hand with, so this is the sinful thing that I want to do. Or this is the direction I want my life to take. And I don't really care what you think about it or what God thinks about it, because God just wants me to be happy. And once I start defining my own happiness, well, then things go off the rails and I do whatever I want. But this is a biblical truth. And in Psalm 128, we are going to see this biblical idea that God does want you to be happy. But he's the one who created us. He's the one who created everything. So today we're going to allow the creator of all things to define what this means. God does want me to be happy. He wants you to be happy. But he wants you to understand what happiness is. Because sin has a way of distorting things. And happiness is just another one of those things that can be distorted by sin. Psalm 128, it opens with happiness. Look at verse 1. Psalm 128 verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Mine has an exclamation mark in there. I love that. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now, I'm going to kind of give you a different idea of a translation of that verse. This verse, in essence, is saying, everyone is happy who recognizes who God is and lives how he designed life to be. That's happiness. That's the key to our happiness. That is the definition of happiness. And it is a beautiful song as we think about Israel singing this song, being with family, being with extended family, being with fellow believers and saying, yes, God does want us to be happy. But we need to understand how we get to that happiness and, well, what that happiness looks like. Because number one, and you and I face this, we're around a lot of unhappy. We're around a lot of unhappy because there's a lot of people who don't fear the Lord. A lot of people, they recognize Him, they believe that He exists, but they don't fear the Lord. They don't humble themselves before Him. They say, okay, well, God may be up there, but, you know, I'm down here on my own, so I'm just going to do what I want to do. That too many people live in what they believe to be a freedom from the Lord's ruling. Now, church, in essence, when you get to hell, you are truly free from all of the Lord's ruling. That's what it is. That's what it is. God is completely hands-off there. And so right now, as He gives us an opportunity to trust Him in faith, to put our hope in Him, and to put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He's holding things together. And it's going to be a sad day for too many who want to be free from God's lordship. But we are happy when we recognize God as God and we live life the way He designed it to be. There are so many people and too often so many of us and chapters of our life where we know that we were not living our lives in accordance with the way that the Lord wanted us to live. You know those chapters in your life. I know those chapters in my life. And they did not lead to happiness. Oh, we may have thought that we were free. We may have thought that we were somehow in control or we somehow had power. But we have to recognize and understand that God made everything, that He rules over everything. And it seems that He knows best how to live in this world of His. So let's read the rest of the Psalm. Psalm 128. We'll start in verse 1 again. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So we find true happiness in God's world when we live in harmony with what He has given us. And that makes perfect sense. God made everything. God has given us the means for everything to be saved. He gives us salvation in Jesus, His Son, who Scripture tells us, and we looked at it last week, that there is only one name given from heaven by which we must be saved. There is salvation only in Jesus Christ. We can't be saved from our sins any other way. We can't atone for our sins any other way. We can't be covered for our sins and our past any other way. We can't be given new life except in Jesus Christ. And God is the one that, having washed our sins, having forgiven us, having made us new creatures, made us a part of His new creation, God is the one that provides us with His Holy Spirit. So He is always, from the very beginning, even to now, into forever, God has always said, here's how I'm taking care of you. Here's how I'm providing for you. Here's what I'm doing for you. If you go along with that, it's going to go well for you. If you go along with that, that is the key to happiness. Now, we know this in our own families, in our own homes, don't we? That our parents set out things for us to do and said, hey, look, if you do these things, it's going to go well for you. If you don't do these things, it's not going to go well for you. Okay, their house, their rules. We went along with their rules. Things worked out fine. When we went against those rules, that's when there was pain. That's when there was punishment. That's when there was stinging, right? It's just like in our marriage, when you think about the roles that we have as husbands and wives, that when we do things the way that God has laid things out for us to do in our marriage, we're happy. We're happy when we're fighting against those things, when we're saying, you know what, I think I want to do things my own way. That's when we run into problems, and then that's when we run into pain and suffering. You know, it's interesting, and we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus' first sermon, he comes out, he starts his ministry, he's got a big crowd around him, and his first sermon was all about happiness. That's how he starts it. He says, okay, I am sent from God. I am the Lord's Messiah. I am Israel's chosen one, and I am the hope for salvation for all who believe, who will come after. And he comes out and he says, here's my first sermon. Here's my first lesson. And the whole thing is about happiness. Love it. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Happiness in our lives, happiness in anyone's life, is found living as Jesus lived. Now, if you read that list and you think, well, that doesn't sound like happiness to me. That sounds like a bunch of suffering. Look, this is God's definition of happiness. Recognizing that He is Lord, that He can be trusted. If we just try to go our own way and use our own talents and abilities and powers, and if we try to rule over other people, if we think that we are more important than other people, if we put ourselves above other people, we're not going to be happy because we are getting out of our lane. And so Jesus teaches us, he says, here's what happiness looks like. And then he lived it. He gave us the wonderful example. And so he says things like, you're happy when you're humble. You are happy when you're humble because you own the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. You don't have to act like a big shot. You don't have to prop yourself up. You don't have to talk about how good you are, or how big you are, or how powerful you are, because you have the promises of God. You are a part of God's eternal kingdom. It's kind of like did you ever know a younger sibling that really acted bigger than they were? Because they had a big brother standing behind them. Someone that knew they had the means of power and protection. They're not worried about anything. They're not nervous about anything because they know who has their back. Church, Jesus is telling us the same thing, that we can be happy because God has our back. The Creator of all things takes care of us and has assured for us all the blessings of heaven and eternity. So we can be happy and we can be humble, and we're happiest when we're humble, when we are low in spirit, when we realize, you know what, I humble myself because that's when I truly see God. I humble myself because I believe that when He says, make yourself low so that I may lift you up. When I am busy and trying to spend all my energy trying to puff myself up or trying to make myself feel better about myself or trying to look good in front of others, that's not happiness. That doesn't make me happy. It's miserable. And it's a lot of work. Instead, if I just trust and know that God loves me so much. How much does God love me? Well, He sent Jesus for me. So if God loves me so much, I can be humble. I can be meek. I can be low in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who mourn because they'll be comforted. Church, it's not fun to mourn. Sometimes it's hard to put on a smile. It's hard to put on a happy face, but we can truly be happy because even in our mourning, we know that we are comforted by God. We know that pain and suffering has an end date. It has an expiration date. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Think about what you hunger and thirst for. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? We are happy when we say, I want to have and to know the things of God, and I won't be satisfied until I have them. That is a happy pursuit. You hear a lot about the pursuit of happiness right there. That one's worth underlining, verse 6. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is a pursuit of happiness. Pursue the things of God. That's worth our time. That's worth our energy, and that makes us happy. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Well, here's a good one to argue, isn't it? Well, Michael, I was trying to show mercy to someone, and they took advantage. I was trying to show mercy. I was trying to extend grace to someone. They didn't appreciate it, or they took advantage of me, or they treated me wrong after I was trying to be merciful. Okay, that's all right. Church, you can still be happy being merciful. Why? For they shall receive mercy. I can treat other people with mercy because I know that God is treating me with mercy. He has shown me mercy in my salvation. He showed me mercy when I became a Christian in baptism. And He will show me mercy on Judgment Day. Because of all the mercy that God has given me, I can be happy and show others mercy. If they abuse me for it, so be it. I mean, in the end, that's their problem. That's not my problem. God is a merciful God, and He has shown mercy to me. So I can be happy and show mercy to others because I don't need anything from others. They can't reward me. The Bible tells us that make sure that your reward's in heaven. Make sure you're working for the things that last forever. We are living our lives to please God. We're not living our lives to be people pleasers. We're not living our lives to make other people happy. They get to benefit from us following Jesus, but I don't care how they react. I don't care how they respond. It doesn't matter. God has shown me mercy so I can put a smile on my face. I can be happy and show mercy to others. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 8. It does make us happy to be pure in heart. It's miserable when you got two things going on in there. It is absolutely miserable when you're trying to live a life, live a lie, right? If your heart is not pure, if you call yourself a Christian, but you know, you're not walking according to the ways of Jesus, that is a miserable life. That's not happy. That's what we find a lot of people that, so-called religious people, that I'll call myself a Christian, but I wouldn't call it happy. It's because you're not doing it right. I mean, if you're kicking against the goads, or if you know that Jesus says, look, here's the direction that life should go. Here's what your life should look like. And you're still jumping over the side. Guess what? You're going to run into problems. God says this is the way that it goes. This is what it looks like. If you and I are trying to find it somewhere apart from God, we're not going to be happy. So we can be happy when we have pure hearts, when all our heart cares about is God. That's it. All our heart cares about is God. All our heart cares about is pleasing Him. All our heart cares about is being like Jesus and knowing that that is the full life, because His is the perfect life. Verse 9, peacemakers are happy. Well, that makes sense. They shall be called sons of God. Those who make peace are happy. It makes us happy to make peace with others. We don't want to stir things up. We don't want to cause problems. We don't want to be the loud one that tries to rule over everyone, or that quiet one that tries to prod and poke people in whatever direction we want them to. We want to be peacemakers. We want to bring people together. We want to bring people to God. We want to bring them to their Creator. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We can be happy when we're persecuted. In fact, he says in verse 11, you can be happy when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. If they're making up things about you, be happy anyway. Well, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so said about me. That's not true. I would never do that. Okay, well, does God know the truth? Then don't worry about it. If a liar is going to lie about you, they're just doing what their nature is. You be happy, because that's our nature. That's God's nature. That's who we are. We are blessed. We are blessed, just like it said back there in Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. We humble ourselves before God. We recognize that He is God, and we are not. And we walk and we form and pattern our lives after the example that He has given us. And that is happiness. That's where it's found, and that's what it looks like. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Because still, the problem against all this happiness is, again, people trying to find and make their own happiness. People try to go against God's way and say, well, I'm going to be happy, but I'm going to do it my way and not God's way. Well, that's a dangerous proposition, thinking that we know more than God. Because none of us made ourselves. None of us created. We are creation. We were made. So we ought to trust the Creator, the one who made us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 put this encouragement like this, starting in verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So, serving ourself is not how we learned about Jesus. So Paul says here, look, your old life, you remember your old life. That's how the world is still living. They still think that happiness is found in serving your own evil desires, is having a thought or having a feeling or having a desire or a lust and saying, I want to satisfy that. That's what the world does. I have a thought, a want, a lust, a feeling, and I want to satisfy it. And that's going to make me happy. Church, it doesn't. You see the people around you. You've seen excess around you. You've seen people, slaves to alcohol, to drugs, to sex. You've seen people slaves to things that this world sells as, well, here's where you find your happiness. And it doesn't fulfill. It enslaves. That's all sin does. That's all sin knows how to do. It enslaves. And some of us in our former lives, we were enslaved. But that's not how we learned Jesus. When we put on our new self, we realize that happiness is found in serving and living like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's where happiness is found. And so in verse 24 again, we put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Our new life is made in the image of God. And church, if there's a believer among us, or if there's someone here this morning that is just having a hard time with happiness, your problem might be is that you've claimed the promises and the facts about God, but you're not living them. That is a recipe for disaster as well. If we say, well, I belong to God, I'm a follower of Jesus, but we don't actually follow Jesus, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. You're not pure in heart. Your heart is torn. It's trying to go in two different directions. Church, happiness is found when we just say, you know what? Ugh, just like that wonderful song, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do this. I can't drive my own life. I can't steer it in the direction that I want to be. Where do I want to be? I want to be happy. That's what everyone wants, to be happy. The problem is people keep on finding it in other evil places. So make sure that you're finding happiness in Jesus. And if you are focused on Jesus, you're going to find it. You're going to find it because that's the promise that He gives. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the last one this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go to verse 16. Halfway through verse 16, Paul makes this statement, we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. That means that we are the host. We are this walking, talking, breathing place meant for holiness. You know how some things are out of place? Yeah, it's irony, or it's where a lot of our humor comes from. We kind of laugh at it when things are completely out of place. But when we continue to allow sin in the temple of God, that's out of place. That's out of place. When we are still trying to control our own lives or determine which direction we should go, that's out of place. We are the temple of the living God. As God said, there back in verse 16, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you see the happiness in there? The happiness in there is you and I don't have to do God's job. We don't have to. Number one, we're not qualified. But number two, we don't have to. It's not my job to be God. It's God's job to be God. It's God's job to be God. So what I want to do is just be His people. I want to let Him be God. He's going to walk among me. He's going to lead me. He's going to show me the way. And He does just like this morning in Psalm 128. We sing this song together and we say, you know what? I get to be happy. I live a blessed life because God has shown me what it looks like. God has shown me where it's found. And it's found in Him because He knows best. It's found in following and walking with Him. Verse 17, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. God offers this invitation to be His children. He says, I want you to be my kids, but you're going to have to separate yourself from all that evil, sinful, dirty darkness out there in the world. You've got to come away from that and come to me to be my children. That is an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing to be separate from all the evil things so that we can be in the presence of God. Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. All right, since we have the promise of God being in our midst, of being in our presence, of walking with us, of talking with us, of living life with us, then we need to be anxious and excited about getting rid of anything that would defile us. We are a temple of the living God. And if there is something in our life that is putting up a barrier from us being close to God or God dwelling with us, then we've got to get rid of it. We've got to say no to that and say yes to God. All of God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. So this morning, repent. Repent. Turn away from anything that you have just allowed to get in your heart. Turn away from anything that has caused your eyes to become closed, to not see God clearly. Repent of anything that you've allowed in your heart that's caused it to be calloused so that you can't even find mercy for others, that you can't even find forgiveness for those around you. Repent. Your Father in heaven wants to live life close to you. He wants to live life with you. And that's where happiness is found. If you keep fighting Him on it, you're not going to be happy. But church, if we're fighting God, if we're fighting the one who made everything, who knows everything, who set everything in its proper place, if we're fighting against Him, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be happy, whether that unhappiness is felt now or later. Everything away from God, there is no happiness there. Everything close to God, everything near God, everything with God, everyone living their life in Jesus Christ knows happiness. That's His promise. That's His promise. So bring your holiness to completion in the fear of God. The fear of God, last thing we'll say about it. The fear of God is not cowering or cringing. That's not the posture. The fear of God is an admittance, a confession of who God is. It is giving Him the respect that He is due, the honor that He is due, and the recognition that He's above us. That's the fear of God. That's it. That's it. Because if I recognize that God ranks above me, then I'll follow Him. If I think that I'm above God, if I have no fear of God, you know, a lot of people just look at fear of God and say, oh, well, be careful of hellfire and brimstone. That's not about that. It's just about understanding that God is God. God is God. He's above me. He is above me. And so I live for Him. He's more important than me. He's more powerful than me. He's better than me. He's more everything than me. And so in my right place to find happiness, I walk and I live in the fear of God. That's where we find happiness, church. So I hope this morning you'll be encouraged by those words, and I hope this week you will do everything you can to live them. All right, go ahead and get your communion supplies together, and we will break bread. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that You have given us all that we need to be happy. We are so very grateful, and we make the confession, Father, and we need to hear it out loud, that You are God, and we are Your children. And we want to be good children. We want to be happy children. And we know we find that in Jesus Christ. Father, we find our salvation in Christ. We have our sins forgiven in Christ. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit in Christ. We thank You so much for blessing us so greatly through Your Son. And this morning, together, all of our family, we take this bread, the body of Jesus, and we remember. We remember the price that was paid for us. We remember the love that held Him up on that cross to be the sacrifice for our sins. Father, we thank You for this gift to all of us. We thank You for Your Son. And Jesus, we thank You for Your faithfulness and Your willingness to die so that we all might live. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we take together this cup of the new covenant, the blood that was spilled for our sins. And as we do so, we remember the promise that You have made that You will not remember our sins anymore. That You will not hold against us all the things that make us guilty. But truly, You will forgive us and make us a temple worthy of Your presence. Father, we thank You for this promise. We thank You for this gift. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that washes us clean, that makes us whole. Father, we recognize the faith that it took for Him to endure suffering, pain, and death from those beneath Him. We recognize the meekness that it took to put His life temporarily in the hands of those who are evil. May we follow in faith. May we appreciate all of Your gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you soon. And we just want you to remember this week, to lift Lewis up every day, okay? He needs healing. He needs this tumor to shrink, and he needs this tumor to be gone. So keep Lewis in your prayers. Remember, Evan's birthday is Tuesday, so remember that. And if you can get paper towels to us here anytime this week, we'll make sure that it gets out to the children's home. And in everything that you say and do, be happy. Be happy. Live life God's way, and happiness will be there. So make sure you check out the song service, and let's go ahead and spend that time together. We love you, and we're anxious to see you. So have a blessed day.